Praise the Lord. Isaiah 64, the first five verses of that chapter. I want to read that tonight, but I want to also call your attention to a verse in Revelation 12 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the seas, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." The enemy comes and attacks with great wrath. Why? Because he knows that time is short. Time is short. So anything that should cue us concerning the coming of the Lord and the end of this age, it's the intensity of the attack of the enemy against the people of God. And as we see it happening, as we sense it personally happening in our life, the enemy attacking us, then we need to look up, because we know our redemption is getting close. Amen. Sure, the enemy, he's turning up the heat. He's doing a lot of things to try to discourage and he's unleashing his wrath against the people of God, against the church, the body of Christ. But at the same time, we can look up and be encouraged to know that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and he's coming very, very soon. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 64, verse number 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which actually means mighty works, doesn't mean awful things. It means amazing, mighty things that God did. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. We'll stop right there in the middle of that verse. I didn't know they were going to sing that song. It's very fitting for things that are on my mind, on my heart here tonight. If we've ever needed the Lord, we need him now. We need him now. We need God to work and to speak now. Isaiah's time was a time when he was preaching and prophesying to a religious nation. It was a very religious nation. They carried on with their sacrifices, their rituals, all of their ceremonies. Everything just was going right along. But something had happened along the way. They had lost touch with God. All of the things that they did was supposed to be all reminders to them of the coming Messiah. And there's the parallel of what was happening here in the New Testament in the experience of those disciples, because they also were in a time there in the book of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 in the outpouring of Pentecost. They also were at a time when there was all this religious activity going on, but they had lost the touch of God. They had lost sight of the fact that every animal that died as a sacrifice was a pointing to Jesus Christ. They had lost sight of the fact that every piece of furniture in the temple and the tabernacle, that everything that they did, all the activity of their worship and their religion was all pointing to Jesus. It was all a way to get to him. And Jesus himself was the fulfillment of all of that. It wasn't necessary anymore to kill the animals, to shed the innocent blood of those animals. He was that better sacrifice. He was that once and for all sacrifice. But they lost sight of all that. And so the whole religious world, if you can imagine how sad that it was, that Jesus Christ himself, he is introducing himself as the Lamb of God. He is walking this earth. He is teaching the principles of the kingdom of God. He is performing supernatural works and miracles and all the things that he did. And they're still so blinded to it that they don't see him. He came into his own received him not. They didn't see him. They were blinded because they were so caught into this regular routine of their religion, but it was a religion without life. God deliver us from a religion without life. Now, religion, there's nothing wrong. I know there's a lot of ridicule and people talk about, I'm not religious and we're not religious people. A lot of church people are talking that way these days. But I'm just saying religion is just following the pattern of the scripture, but it has to be infused with the life of God, or it's meaningless. It has nothing, no power. There's nothing to it. If we're not careful, the same thing that was happening in Isaiah's day, the same thing that was happening on the day of Pentecost, could be happening to you and to me. It could happen in our church. God forbid that it would ever come to that place, and that we would not recognize that we're here to worship him. We're not just singing songs. We're glorifying Jesus. Amen. When we give, we're not just giving out a duty and obligation when the offering plates are passed. It's a part of our worship. It brings glory and honor to the Lord. It's for the purpose of the kingdom of God. It all has kingdom purpose. All that we do, but we lose sight of that. And then we just get into this routine of singing our songs and giving our offerings and offering our testimonies and preaching our sermons and praying in our altars. And it all becomes just a ritual if Jesus isn't alive in us. If there's no life in our church, if there's no life in our services, if we move into just a routine without the power and the presence of God, quite frankly, I don't want that. I don't want that. And I'm grateful for all the things that are available to us today. We've got so many, tools and so many things. We've got talents, and we've got nicer buildings than we had in the past. We have got so many advantages, wonderful music and singers and musicians and all kinds of equipment and all kinds of advantages that we have as far as these tools. And I'm grateful for them, but they can never replace the power of God. They can never replace the life of God. As a matter of fact, if we're not careful, then we'll just include them into our lifeless worship. And there'll be nothing to it, no reality, no power of God, no presence of God among us. We need the Lord. It was into this kind of a predicament that Isaiah and a remnant of people began to cry out to God. And you can sense their heart. You can feel the desire of their heart by the way it starts off with that, oh. There's a longing in that, oh. There's a hunger in that, oh. There is a need that's being expressed. That's where Isaiah was. That's where the remnant was. That's where those who waited on the day of Pentecost were. Waiting on the Lord, desiring the Lord, because they had been sent there. Jesus has said, go there, tarry, wait until you're endued with power from on high. If you don't, then you're just going to be performing religious actions, religious activity. It'll have no consequence. It'll have no effect whatsoever. Wait until you're filled with the Spirit of God. Wait until you're endued with power from on high. And Isaiah and this little remnant of people begin to cry out to God, Lord, we don't want religion without life. We don't want all of this that's just it's just a formality. It's just a routine. We've gotten to a rut, and there's no life, and there's no reality. There's no power to what we're doing. God forbid that that would ever be true among us. Amen. If all these things that I mentioned, you know, the technology and the tools and all these things, if they would bring revival, if those things could bring revival, then churches all over this nation would be bursting out with power. They would be bursting forth with great moves of God, supernatural acts of God, because we've got all of these things. I'm talking about churches that cost millions and millions of dollars to build. And I know nothing wrong with nice buildings, but it's a real problem when you have all of this, all these nice, wonderful things, but somewhere we've lost the power of God. They've lost the anointing of God, lost the touch of God. And we need to be like Isaiah and that remnant of people. We need to get an oh back in our prayer. We need to get a oh back in our worship, back in our service to God, our ministry before the Lord. There needs to be something of our spirit and our heart, a longing that cries out, oh God, would you break open the heavens? Would you rend the heavens? Because if you don't come down, then what we're doing is not going to accomplish anything. We're going to fail. You know, the word potential is an interesting word, because the first part of that word is the word is potent. Potent. But the sad thing about the word potential is the word means possible as opposed to actual. Possible as opposed to actual. Amen. It's possible. There's the potential for God to move. There's the possibility that God will move. But potential only speaks of what can be, what the possibilities are. Not it's power that's available, but power not realized, power not experienced. It's a capability, but it's not the reality of the presence and the power of God. Oh Lord, that you'd come down, Lord, that you would just tear open the heavens, that you would come down. You've heard it described before. People who said, I prayed, but the heavens were like brass. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it describes what God said, I'll do. If you obey my voice, if you walk according to my law, then he enumerates and lists all the blessings that I'm going to send your way. It's a wonderful list there in Deuteronomy chapter 28 of all the wonderful blessings. But then the last part of the chapter is that he describes, but if you refuse, but if you ignore me, ignore my law and turn away from my law. Then he begins to enumerate all the things, the curses that are going to come upon you because you do not follow the Lord. And one of the curses is Deuteronomy 28 in verse 23. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. That there's no way to break through the heavens that are brass. It's the curse that comes upon a people who live in such a way that isn't pleasing to God, who don't live up to God's standard, who don't live up to God's expectation, who get careless about their spiritual life and not really, not pouring anything into it. No sacrifice anymore. No prayer anymore. No effort being put in to the work of God. Everything is turned around. All you want to do is you want to be on the receiving end. Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. Lord, provide for me. Lord, answer my prayer. Lord, take care of me. It's all selfishly motivated. When we really need to be a people who know how to cry out to God, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, would you break open the heavens? Would you come down among us? Would you come down among us? Would you come, your presence fill up this sanctuary? And Lord, that the platform would be a place where the presence and the anointing of the Spirit of God rest upon us, the singers and the preachers and everyone that's involved in the ministry and in the pews and in every part of the work of the ministry here, that there's such a presence of God, a power of God that is resting upon us. That's what we need to be crying out to God for. That needs to be our prayer. Oh, Lord, please open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. You come down. We need your presence here. If we don't have your presence, then we're going to fail. We're not going to experience what we need. I don't want to come to church and not feel the presence of God. I don't want to try to preach and not have the help of God, the anointing of God. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. It becomes a drudgery. Church becomes a drudgery. It's a sad day when you come to a place where you have to prod people and beg people. I'm talking about Christian people. Prod them and beg them and say, please, you need to come to church. You need to be faithful to the house of the Lord. You need to be right here serving the Lord in the house of God, finding every excuse, looking for every excuse to not be in church. What does that mean? What does that mean? Let me tell you, it's a serious indictment against me. It's a serious indictment against the church, the body of Christ, all of us, because this needs to be a place that is so saturated with the presence of God that people are not only coming to church, but they are lingering after church. Amen. We've had times like this before in different revival meetings where it was obvious people didn't want to leave. They just lingered around the altars and lingered in the presence of God. And it would go past 8:30 and past 9 o'clock and past 9:30. And the time would go by. And people just lingered and lingered and lingered. It was because God was there. The presence of God was among us. And he was working and speaking among us. Oh, how we need God to come down. What happens whenever his presence, when he comes? The scripture says, Lord, if you would come down, then the mountains would flow down at your presence. The image is in the scripture many, many places. Even Jesus used the image of the mountain as being the biggest thing that he could use to illustrate as he was talking to his disciples. But he told them, Matthew 21 and verse 20, 21, Jesus answered and said to them, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain. I believe he's pointing at it. He's looking around and he sees the biggest thing as a visual illustration to those disciples. You can say to that mountain right there, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Glory to God. Amen. What was he saying? He was just saying to them, nothing will be too hard. There's nothing will be so big, but the presence of God can't take care of it. That the power of God can't see that thing destroyed and brought down. A lot of people are living their life in a bondage. They think, I can't serve God. I can't live for God. I'm so bound up by all of these things in my life. And the enemy's lied to you. He sold you a bill of goods. You're convinced that you can't serve God, that you can't be the woman of God or the man of God or the young person that God has called you to be. It's a lie. It is a lie, because when God comes in his presence and his power, then it doesn't matter what the mountain is in your life, the presence of God will just make it to melt. Amen. It'll just melt away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is Micah chapter 1 and verse 4 describes the mountain. It says that it will melt like wax. Hallelujah. When the presence of God, like Isaiah is praying here, oh God, come down to us, and you, by your Spirit and your presence, come and visit us. And when you come, then the mountains, these big problems, these big things that we're facing. No, we've got a lot of needs. I have needs. You have needs. I can go. I know almost everybody here pretty well, and I know you've got needs. I know you've got problems. You need answers. You need God to work in your family. You need God to work in your finances. You need God to work to bring deliverances and salvation. And you just need the help of the Lord. It's looming before you like a huge mountain. What can change it? What can bring these things down? What will cause these great mighty obstacles to melt before us? Presence of God. The power of God. The moving of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God's Holy Spirit among us will bring the biggest problems down that you could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, from the pastor's perspective, from the pulpit perspective, as I said, I know most everybody. I know the people in the church. And I notice when people aren't here, I notice what's going on. Not that I'm anything important. I notice it. I know it concerns me. It grieves me. It worries me because I know that whenever people don't have a heart for the house of God, that there's something going on. There's a problem. There's a spiritual need that's not being met. And so on my side, I understand that everybody has their side and their responsibility, but we also have our responsibility as the church. And our responsibility is to pray, oh God, would you just pour out your spirit on Sunday morning and on Sunday night? Would you bless our services with the moving of the Holy Ghost? Would you work supernaturally among us? Would you save the lost? Would you bring deliverance? Would you fill with the Spirit? Would you work among your people, oh Lord? Amen. So that when people would be afraid to not be at church. They'll be so afraid that if they don't go to church, that they're going to miss out on some mighty move of God. They're going to miss out on the touch of God. They're going to miss out on some wonderful supernatural outpouring of God's Spirit because God is moving in our lives every day of the week and in every service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As I said, the mountains are like a symbol of power or strength and whatever that great big obstacle is in your pathway. It's looming before you, and you're trying to figure out the answer. You're trying to determine, what can I do about this? Let me tell you, I am faced with some situations. I've got needs in my own household and my family. I know the only answer is God. I know He is the only answer. He is the one. He is the one that can cause mountains to melt at His presence. Amen. He's the one that can bring salvation and deliverance. He's the one that can work in the hearts of those that are hard and resistant to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The mountains will flow down at His presence. Amen. Verse 2. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the water to boil. Amen. When there is this wonderful presence of God, there is going to be a reaction. There's going to be a response. When the heat is turned up in the presence of God, that's what happens whenever you bring something to a boil. You talk about activity, action, movement. The heat becomes so intense, the temperature gets so high that it's boiling. If left untouched, it will boil and boil. It will boil over. Amen. That's what happens when the presence of God is among us. That's when the anointing rests upon our lives, our ministries, our church with such power and anointing that the power of God will flow down and move in our lives. And God will begin to work and there'll be action and activity. Ravenhill would say, unction in the pulpit will bring action in the pew. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Lord, send unction and send action. Send movement, activity, the working of the Spirit of God among your people, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happens when the fire comes? Well, there's a response. When the fire comes, fire brings about a cleansing, purifying effect. Amen. When the fire of God comes, it'll burn up all the dross. It'll burn up all the unnecessary. And everything that's left is going to be that which is going to be eternal and lasting. All the wood, hay, and stubble is consumed. The only thing that's left are that which is precious and eternal and lasting.
And it's all purged. It's all purified. It is all made something of that God can use in the kingdom of God. Oh, how we need the cleansing effect, the purifying effect of the fire of God's Spirit. And then it's also a consuming effect. Our God is a consuming fire. Whenever God comes and flows down among us by His Holy Spirit with such power and fire, then we're going to be so consumed by it. We're going to be so taken by it that our lives are going to be controlled. Our lives are going to be under the control and the influence of the Spirit of the living God. We are going to experience His presence. It's going to be our thoughts, our actions, our lives are going to be consumed with the things of God and the presence of God. Our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The circumstance that Isaiah was preaching to in that day, you'll see it at the end of the chapter. The circumstance was wilderness. He says, the holy cities are wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is desolate. He was describing the spiritual condition of that nation and of that city. That that there was no life. It was nothing but a wilderness. It was nothing but desolation. And that's why he was crying out to God. Oh God. Oh God. Rend the heavens. Rip open the heavens. Come down with your presence. Bring the mountains down. Cause the mountains in our lives to melt and to be consumed. Hallelujah. It says the fire causes the water to boil, bringing action, activity, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. Hallelujah. Amen. We can put it on the radio, we can put it in the paper, we can put it on the sign, we can do a lot of things to invite people and welcome people, and we should do that. But if there's anything that causes it to be noised abroad, it's when it's such a wonderful supernatural work of the Holy Spirit among us that everybody around us, they begin to hear about it. Amen. Amen. To make known thy name to thine adversaries. That all of those that would oppose and all the opposing forces and everything, that the name of the Lord would be lifted up in the midst of all that. That's what happens when revival comes. Amen. That thy name would be known among thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Folks, we're in such a mess in this country. You say, oh, it's all this politics. Sure, we've got political problems. But the very root of the problem is a nation that's ignoring God and is turning away from God. That's the problem in this country. It's not Republican, Democrat. The problem in this country is a spiritual desolation, a spiritual wilderness, a nation that can boast of revivals past and great reformations and great moves of God in this country. But now we're in a predicament right now. We're about as low as we can get. We're dropping to new lows almost by the week, getting further and further and further away from God. Oh, we're in such need. What is the answer? What is the answer? It's the preachers of this country. It's the men and women of God of this country. It's the churches of this country. They've got to get a hold of God, and they've got to turn that cry, that prayer, into a prayer like Isaiah's and say, oh God, God, we can't go one step further unless your presence comes and you begin to move among us. This nation, oh, the need of our nation is overwhelming. The predicament of our nation, a whole generation that's growing up right now, who does not know God. They don't know what it really means to serve the Lord. They don't understand because they've had fathers and mothers that have turned their back upon God and upon the Word of God. A whole generation now is growing up not knowing anything about God. This post-Christian world that we live in now, this post-Christian nation, how is it possible that with over 300 million people in our country, that less than 20% regularly go to church? You can do the numbers on that. It's a small percentage of people that are in the house of God, that are serving the Lord. The percentage is so low. That's why we're faced with such a crisis in our nation. That's why we're faced with such judgment upon our nation. Whenever a nation forgets God, then that nation faces judgment. And that's where we are right now. All that's going on in the economy, it's not just decisions being made by politicians. This is the judgment of God upon a nation who refuses to honor the Lord. And it's going to get worse. It's going to go further down, 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 unless the people of God begin to pray this prayer of intensity. Oh, God, come down. Oh, God, come down. Oh, religious world is just so twisted. The whole religious world has become nothing more than just, it's nothing more than just religious entertainment. Much of it is there's no reality. There's no fire of God. There's no word of God. There's no reality in it. There's emptiness and death in it. Oh, what a predicament that we are in this nation. And the only answer is God. Hallelujah. The only answer is God coming down among us. Amen. The nations may tremble at thy presence. Amen. And you say, I don't know how we could ever see things turned around. I'm sure that those who waited in the upper room were probably thinking, we're here, we're waiting by faith, we're waiting on the power. But they could not have envisioned that in one day's time, that Peter was going to stand up and preach and 5,000 souls were going to be convicted and saved. They couldn't have imagined it. In their wildest imaginations, they could not have imagined that God could do such a mighty things, filling them all with the Spirit. Tongues of fire set upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They had power. They were able to be mightily used of the Lord. And 5,000 souls, and then 3,000 souls, and the church was added to daily such as should be saved. This was the supernatural work of God that came by the Spirit. Those that were that religious crowd that was so hard-hearted and so resistant to the message of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God caused that mountain to melt. Hallelujah. All those people that could care less and made a mockery of Jesus and even crucified Jesus. You talk about hard and unresponsive to the things of the Lord, but the Spirit of the Lord broke down all that resistance. The Spirit of the Lord brought that whole city. It was noise that brought to that entire city, and thousands of people were ushered into the kingdom of God because of the presence of God. I'm going to tell you that when we experience a real move of God, a real revival, then we can expect things that will happen that are far beyond anything we could ever imagine. And that's what it's talking about there in verse number 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, oh God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, all the prayers that are prayed are not wasted and they are not lost. I watched Brother Huff for 10 years walk the floors here morning after morning, and Sister Huff as well, praying for revival, praying for a move of God, calling out to God all those years. Now he doesn't have the strength to do it. Now he doesn't. He tells me from time to time, I pray when I have the strength to pray, but don't have much strength anymore to do it. Let me tell you, 10 years of praying, not something gone unnoticed by God. Amen. God knows about those prayers that were prayed. He knows the sacrifices that you have made. He knows the prayers that you have prayed. He's heard your voice crying out, oh God, break open the heavens. Come down among us with your Holy Spirit. Break through and bring the mountains down in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, the wonderful things that God will do whenever we experience this wonderful visitation of God and His Holy Spirit. So what do we have to do? Well, we have to recognize the need, and then we have to develop a hunger, A hunger for God. How do we do that? How do you do that? Well, hunger, physical hunger, it's pretty simple. If a person loses their appetite, there are usually either a couple of things going on. Either they're eating other things and they're filled up with other things, or there's a sickness there. There's an infirmity in the body, and they lose their appetite. And if you've lost your desire, your hunger for the things of God, you need to take a close examination as to what's going on. Amen. Church time rolls around and you don't have any motivation. You don't have any interest. You don't really have any desire to be in the house of the Lord. You need to worry about that. You need to be concerned about that. You need to take that to heart, because it's a spiritual indicator of a great deep need that you have. And that is that you're losing your appetite for spiritual things. You need to renew that hunger. Amen. How do you do that? You get in the presence of God. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Get in the presence of God. Amen. Spend time in the presence of the Lord, even in your home or wherever you are, in your car. Get in the presence of God. Begin to develop that appetite for the things of God once again. What will be the evidence that that's going on? Your life will be so affected. The joy of the Lord will return. You'll be rejoicing and praising, and it won't be something that you're doing out of obligation, but it's just spontaneous that you're giving glory and praise to God. Verse 5, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Amen. Turn back to the Lord. Taste and see that he is good. Develop that spiritual appetite. What will happen? Joy will come. Spontaneous worship will come. Rejoicing will come. Once again. Amen. It won't be spiritual exercises. Everybody raise your hands. Everybody clap your hands. Everybody sing this song. Everybody do this. No, there'll be a spontaneous thing going on in your life. There'll be a working of the Spirit of God, the joy of the Lord, a rejoicing, a praising, a glorifying God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another indicator is that there's this awakened desire in your heart, awakened awareness of the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. That's our hope. That's the blessed hope of the church. And it's a motivator for every one of us. The Bible says it's a motivator for us to purify our lives. He that hath this hope in himself, he purifies himself. You have the hope of the coming of the Lord. It has its purifying effect upon your life. It causes you to have hope and joy in another world, not in this life only. Because you live with this expectancy that Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, to experience the presence of God. I can pretty much, and I would say most of you can do the same thing. You can relate. Looking back over your Christian life, and you have these times of where your life was affected, blessed, and changed by a supernatural work of the presence of God. Amen. Some of you could testify, I was sick. I was in the hospital. Things were looking bad. But the Lord, he touched me, and he healed me, and he brought me up out of that sick bed. Others of you gone through trials maybe on your job, or trials of need, even financial need. And you committed it to the Lord, and you prayed it through, and you saw God. You can look back on your life, and the highlights of your life are the spiritual times, the times when God came by his Spirit and moved for you, your time of need. And right now we are in real need. We're all in great need. We need a move of God. We need a revival. We need the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Like the song they said, if we've ever needed the Lord, if we've ever needed the Lord, we need him now. We need him now. Let's seek the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's fast together. Let's prepare our hearts this week. Let's ask the Lord to pour His Spirit out and to send revival. Hallelujah. Let's get the oh, back in our prayer. Amen. With such hunger and such desire. Longing for His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand together. Everybody, would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we need You. We know, Lord, that we're weak. We're incapable. We're powerless. We have nothing to offer, Lord, unless You come. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. How we need Your presence. How we need Your presence. So, Lord, work in us. Help us. Deal with us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, our great need of You. Oh, Lord, and pray with a new intensity and a new hunger. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Spiritual needs. No doubt, many of us here tonight, we need help from God. You need help personally. You need help in your family. You need help in your life. So many problems and circumstances. The presence of God can cause all those mountains to melt. Hallelujah. The presence of God can take those huge obstacles in your way. You can melt them like wax. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If there's anyone here tonight, you recognize, oh, how much you need God's help. Unsaved, backslider, maybe just drifted away from the Lord. You're not right now in right relationship with God. You need help from the Lord. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let him deceive you. Everything can be changed by the presence of God in your life. Hallelujah. If you need help from the Lord tonight, I welcome you to come. Would you come here to this altar before everyone else gathers in? Anybody? You recognize God's speaking to you tonight by His Holy Spirit. He's convicting you. He's dealing with you. And you know the answer is just getting in the presence of God and getting right with God. Why don't you let the Lord help you? Hallelujah. Let the Lord do the work by His Spirit and power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyone? Anyone want to come? We'd like to meet you here at this altar and pray with you. Anyone that's in need. Whatever your need is, a spiritual need or whatever your need is, I invite you to come. Get help from the Lord. Get help in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everyone, as we gather into the altar here tonight, remember the problem in Isaiah's day was just religious routine, religious ceremony. I urge you tonight, as you come to pray, make it different. Make it heartfelt. Pour yourself into it. Call on the Lord. Cry out to God for help, and He'll help you. Hallelujah. He'll help you. Let's come and pray. Would you come, everybody in this congregation? I want to just welcome you to come, urge you to come. Let's pray together. Let's pray with this urgency like Isaiah. Oh, Lord, that You'd come down. Oh, Lord, that You'd bring the mountains down. Lord, that You would melt every obstacle in our pathway. In the name of Jesus.